You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Conflicts are part of life because all of us are human. When conflicts arise, as they do, it is very human to think first of all about saying something or doing something to justify yourself and having done all to win. Conflicts are all over the place. There are conflicts between husbands and wives, between parents and children, between friends and friends, between employers and employees. You can have a conflict with your lawyer or your doctor. There are times when you can have a whale of a conflict with waiters, landlords, and salespeople in stores. Very often these conflicts are never resolved, and people just go away angry. All too often the conflict continues to be a festering sore, bursting open again later on in a virulent burst of pus. You expect conflicts. You can count on them. What do you do with them? Do you win most of your conflicts, or do you more often come out on the losing end? What's your batting average on conflicts? Do you handle conflict well, or does it handle you? In his Sermon on the Mount, with all of his divine understanding of humanity and all of his personal participation in human life, Jesus Christ made a remarkable declaration about an aspect of everyday life that touches us all. He told people how to deal with conflict and to win. So, if you are about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go at once and make peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift to God. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute with him while there's time before you get to court. Once you are there, he will turn you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. Jesus said, "Make peace immediately with your brother or sister." Making peace is more important, believe it or not, than giving a gift, making an offering to God. Jesus himself made the offering for people to God. He was offering himself at that very moment for the life of the world. His offering lasts until the present day and will endure forever. Were it not for the offering Jesus made for human sin, I would not be talking to you today about him. Is there anyone else in the whole history of the world who accomplished so much for people everywhere and entered so deeply into human life as to redeem people from their sins, including the sins of selfishness and smug self-satisfaction which produce most of the conflict in the world? "Settle your disputes while there's time," said Jesus. If someone brings a lawsuit against you and takes you to court, settle the dispute with him while there's time, before you get to court. Once you're there, he will turn you over to the judge, who will hand you over to the police, and you will be put in jail. Jesus did not decry court action. There are times when a third party is necessary in order to produce a settlement of conflict that is at least approximately fair. Jesus would tell us, however, that there's all too much litigation which accomplishes little. Too many people go to court. "Why let somebody else," he said, "settle things you should be able to do yourself?" Jesus went and did by himself what only he could do. His whole life was reconciliation, making peace between God and humanity, producing a new atmosphere where peace can be made between man and man, woman and woman, husbands and wives, affecting the lives of children all over the world. It is peace that works as well on the playground as it does in the high-level conflicts of executive boardrooms. The apostles of Jesus looked upon themselves as messengers of reconciliation. representing the one whom they came to know as the great reconciler. One of them, reconciled to Jesus personally on the Damascus Road, tells of his own experience in terms that touch everybody. "While we were yet enemies," said Paul, "we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." In the light of the cross of Christ, and in the spirit of reconciliation brought about by that cross, these apostles reported to us what Jesus said. If you're about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go at once and make peace with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift to God. This is not some little legal prescription for people to observe just before they go to communion. It's a mighty piece of advice for all of life. It's right in line with everything Jesus said about how to live once your heart has been touched by the Spirit of God through the gospel of salvation with faith in Him. Do for others, he said, what you would want them to do for you. A friend of mine told me about an incident that happened while he was riding the bus one day. Two women argued with the bus driver, who was also a woman, about the place to get off. The bus driver insisted that their stop was 3 miles earlier than the place where they wanted to be dropped off. The women wouldn't get off the bus when they arrived there. The driver said she wouldn't drive the bus any farther until they got off. 5 minutes went by, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and during the whole time, the women were screaming at each other. My friend, who is a pastor, tried to mediate. He almost got his hat blown off. The whole situation was utterly hopeless. Neither side listened to what the other was saying. Each one thought she was right, and that was it, period. After some more screaming, the bus driver got off the bus herself and went to the telephone. The pastor thought she was calling the police. It turned out that she was calling her supervisor. The supervisor determined that the women should be dropped off where they wanted to be dropped off. The pastor concluded that the whole thing could have been worked out right on the bus between the parties involved if each had listened to the other. The Lord never suggested that the solution to a conflict is simply to give in, to cave in, to acquiesce. He did insist that human affairs require talking to one another and listening to one another. You can anticipate what someone else is going to say, but even then, you have to listen. Try to figure out what is going on. Look at it also from the other person's point of view. Analyze the problem and try to resolve the matter to the satisfaction of both parties. Very often, conflict produces an out-and-out collision. People collide when they don't talk to one another. They don't try to work out a solution. They don't even try to negotiate. Everybody goes at it with his own kind of thoughts. I'm right, and that's it. You can see that conflict in families, on jobs, in the neighborhood, at the store, and even in church. Jesus said, "Go to your brother and seek peace with him." How many marriages could have been saved if people had been willing to do that? Even with all of the most competent advice, divorce settlements always turn out to be no real settlement at all. Not really resolved, conflict leaves people with bruised feelings that continue to be bruised, with resentments that still need to be healed. Human conflict is as old as Cain and Abel. Arguments and disagreements are bound to arise when people with different ideas and ideals, taste and temperaments, get together. We are all, to some degree, loveless, selfish, self-centered, overly sensitive, and jealous of our own rights. We have a natural tendency to restrict the area of freedom for someone else in order to let our own freedom expand. Conflict takes over when people refuse to understand, when people are so insecure and so immature that they refuse to admit they can ever make a mistake. Forgiveness and understanding are the hallmarks of the realm of Christ. They deal with the ills of humanity. There are times when no amount of understanding, however, will resolve the conflict. Then only forgiveness will do. Forgiveness extended in love. Love does cover the multitude of sins. Forgiveness from the hand of God works that way. Forgiveness from one person to the other works the same way. When God forgives you, as he does for the sake of Jesus Christ, he is not laying for you, waiting for a chance to get back at you. He really forgives as Christ died for you. His Father's hand reaches out to touch you, drawing you to a new life, which is also in Christ. St. Paul once said, having learned it the hard way himself, "Be kind and gentle-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you." Don't say this is impractical. It's the most practical thing in the world. It is the heart of life. Without forgiveness, real life is impossible. Without forgiveness, life becomes a jungle with people stalking one another. You don't have to tell me that there are people in church who never seem to have heard this. I'm talking to them, as well as to you who may never have set foot in a church. We all need to hear the good word of God, which is forgiveness, learning to forgive one another. Adding to all that, love, which is the last link in the chain of completeness. How can you win in a conflict? Often you win by not winning in the usual sense of the word. You don't come out on top when you go about bragging how you put it over on the other fellow. You win by taking into account the feelings of somebody else, leading people to solve their own problems along with yours. Working conditions in a marriage or anywhere else have never been and never will be perfect. You want others to be patient with you. Don't expect them to be perfect. Don't be surprised if someone else has a chip on his shoulder. You may have a 2x4 on your own shoulder. Listen to Christ and learn from him. His credentials have been established for everyone to see. He died for you. He rose from the dead, and he lives for you. He demands not only your respect, but also invites your love. Think about it for a moment. There are four different ways to deal with conflict. The first is, I win, you lose. The second is, I lose, you win. The third is, I lose, you lose. And the fourth one is, I win, you win. I win, you lose. That strategy looks like total victory, but most of the time it turns out to be total defeat. People who deal with conflict that way want to take home with them all the bacon. They often try to dominate. What happens to someone else doesn't bother them. Victory is the thing, and nothing else counts. Jesus was not talking about that kind of winning in the Sermon on the Mount. I lose, you win. Passive people try to gain what they want by losing. The last thing they want to do is to dominate a situation. Victory terrifies them. Usually they don't have much self-respect. They aren't really in tune with Jesus when he says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." I lose, you lose. That's the approach of people who can't stand the thought of anybody else winning. They make certain that the other person loses, even if they have to lose everything themselves in the process. They're willing to sabotage a real solution in order to accomplish their objective. I lose, you lose. It's not a Christ-like approach. I win, you win. Now that's right on track. You may not win everything, but the other person doesn't win everything either. Each has something to show for his or her efforts. You can still be friends. After the conflict is over, you can still be partners. The anger and the frustration have come to an end. Peace and harmony again prevail. People who use this approach, you may notice, often use words like we, us, and our instead of I, me, my, or mine. They might say, let's consider this. What are your thoughts on the matter? Or how can we resolve this situation? They like to say, let's discuss this. Let's try to discover what all of this is about. Let's see where we are right now. Let's talk about it. You don't have to translate that kind of language. People who take such language into the resolution of a conflict have taken the first step, at least, toward producing a solution of which it can finally be said, I win, you win. I win, you win, people do get angry. They get rattled. They get impatient at times. They've been through battles. They've seen the blood flow. They've tossed through sleepless nights. With the love of Jesus working in them, however, they have learned to go his route. Love your brother and make peace with him. They've decided that no victory can be worth the cost of the relentless tension of continuing conflict. They want to live the full life that Christ brings. They try to hear what Christ commands. As much as in you lies, live at peace with everybody. In giving to others, they learn to receive, even as Christ has received us all and accepted us with his own grace and power. It's important to live up to your agreement with your brother. To make sure that the agreement sticks, make sure that he is satisfied too. It's a great joy to see a husband and wife who were once talking about divorce, learning how to negotiate with one another and coming together again. It's great to see parents and children learning how to talk to one another again, and even to say what they probably neglected to say for a long time, I love you. I always pray for the church, that people will listen to the Lord and will learn to live as he tells us to live, not only to his glory, but also for our own benefit and the well-being of others. The gospel of Jesus Christ offers to all of us forgiveness and life. Forgiveness is offered to everyone without exclusion and without exception by the power of Christ. Life in Christ, lived with faith and love toward him, are both a personal and public expression and demonstration of the grace and power of Christ. It's what Christ expects of his people, and what his people offer gladly to him, better than any other gift they could bring to the altar of God. Life in Christ is to make an enemy into a friend. It is God's method of dealing with conflict and winning. While we were yet enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Even God does not succeed all the time in turning every enemy into a friend. Even the cross of Christ does not turn everyone's heart to God. Turning away from him is the way of the loser. Turn to God, my friend, overcome by his grace with faith and love toward the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way of the winner. Learning to make peace with someone else, even at great expense to yourself, even as God has made peace with you at great expense to himself in the blood of his cherished Son, Jesus Christ. Accepting the love of God in Jesus Christ, extend the hand of friendship, kindness, and understanding with love in your heart to those all around you, surmounting the inevitable conflicts of life in the Spirit of Christ. Winsomeness wins. Having paid the price for all of humanity amid the swirling conflicts of the world, Jesus knows how much courage it takes to deal with human conflict and how much faith and love toward God is required to win through to the composure of faith and the warmth of love given out of intelligent service to him. What he says is important to you and everyone around you. It's more important than any religious act of piety, praiseworthy as it may be. is what people often postpone or put off altogether. But it must be done. If you're about to offer your gift to God at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, go at once, and make peace with your brother. And then come back and offer your gift to God. Amen.